explore together with you just what is spiritual friendship? What is Kalyanamitta? How's this? That term Kalyanamitta, it's not an accident that these groups are called Kalyanamitta groups, and wanted to explore just what Kalyanamitta is. as perhaps you know, but I wanted to talk a little bit from a Dharma background. Let me see. I've got a lot to do with this. So I'll just kind of condense it and just come off. Kalyanamitta, as I said before, the word mitta is related to metta, or loving kindness, or mitra in Sanskrit, or maitri, all the same root, about friendliness. And so mitta is friend, kalyana is spiritual friend. So a Kalyanamitta group is a spiritual friends group. And this is a term that's used particularly in the Theravadan tradition to talk about the relationship that we have with each other to have that third refuge in the Sangha, really flourish. And even teachers, no matter if they're great masters or relatively new, they are spoken of as spiritual friends, not as, you know, unless they're a fully enlightened being, then they're talked of as an arhat or once returner or non-returner. Everybody else, we're just all spiritual friends. We're helping each other on the path. And this is to support this refuge of Sangha. The word refuge, it's a really beautiful word. Refuge can mean support or comfort or a place of safety where in that refuge, the best in you can shine through. So when we hear refuge in the Buddha, we're talking about the place inside of us, not just the historical figure, but the refuge that you are the Buddha inside. The Buddha said, he taught, because everybody has this capacity to wake up as he did, and to take refuge in that. First refuge, and refuge in the Dharma, the truth of how things are, the way that it's supported is through spiritual friendship, that we don't have to do this alone. We don't do it alone. It's very rare that one does it alone. There's this concept of Pacheka Buddha, a self-enlightened Buddha, which is extremely rare, where you don't get or need the support of friends. He said, we need each other, as I'm sure most of you are familiar with the famous line where Ananda says, it seems that having good friends is half of the holy life, and the Buddha says, not so, it's the whole of the holy life. So, Sangha is really what Kalyanamitta is all about. And the way I think of it is that we're helping each other become more conscious. That's it. We're just helping each other become more conscious. And it's different than, say, we talked before about the difference between Dharma talk or just talk, that having a spiritual friend is another dimension than just having a good friend, as wonderful as that is. When you have a spiritual friend, then you're in it to help each other wake up. This is, I've been with my wife for now going on 34 years, and we were married 32 years ago. And in our vows, And this is in whenever I do a wedding ceremony, which I love doing for people that I know and friends, I say these vows that we are in this relationship. This relationship is a vehicle for us to help develop trust, respect, understanding, and love. And that third thing in the relationship makes it such that I'm not looking to you to have all of my needs met, or you to have all of you looking to me to meet all your needs. We're here for this third thing, that we so value the truth, we love the truth so that we can support each other in that. The Buddha, he has one discourse in this. I don't know if they have this book in the bookstore. This is from the Digha Nikaya. Digha, D-I-G-H-A. Digha Nikaya means the long discourses. And there's this one discourse that the Buddha gives advice to lay people, called the Sigala Sutta, S-I-G-A-L-A, about all different kinds of relationships in lay life. And he has a whole section on what good friends are. And I'll share with you just a little bit. It gets, there's a lot that he says, but he says, there are four types who can be seen as loyal friends. And each of these, he then goes into, there's four aspects of each of them, but there is the friend who is a helper, who helps you in good times and in bad. There's a friend who is the same in happy and unhappy times. A friend who points out what is good for you and who tells you when you're off. He doesn't say it quite that way. He says, keeps you from wrongdoing, supports you in doing good, informs you of what you did not know, and points out the path to freedom. So a good friend is not just somebody who says, oh yes, everything you say is just wonderful and I love it. A good friend, a wise, good spiritual friend, is someone who helps you wake up in a very kind, wise way that doesn't make you wrong, but is there to support you in your growth. And then there's the friend who looks out for your welfare. And when you're about to go off, he brings you back. And one who says good things about you, not bad things. And when others say good things, he says, yeah, or she says, yeah, right on. And when they criticize or put you down, they don't join in. So there, you can look in the Sigala Sutta and you can go through the whole discourse. But there is a quality of integrity, of using the precepts and virtue as a context for the friendship. And in that, there is a kind of sensitivity that that one knows how to communicate in a way that you feel safe around. You know, if somebody says, are you ready for some feedback? You know, you say, oh yeah, lay it on me? Okay. Probably not. But if somebody says or communicates in some way, I really value our friendship, and there's something that's getting in the way that I don't want in the way because I so value our connection, you might be a little bit more interested in hearing what they have to say. and they might say, I want to be really sensitive about it and own my part. And when it feels right and you're open to it, I'd like to talk about it with you. You might be quite interested. Oh, they care about this enough that they're willing to take the risk and say what's in the way. So how you say something makes all the difference, and your intention behind saying it, is it to make to be right or control or to put the other make the other person feel small or whatever, or is it because you really want greater communication? A good friend is somebody who you can share silence with. You know, you ever go in a car and you're riding along and you don't have to fill up the space with words? That's one of the things about sitting with people, because you can share the silence and not just fill it up with meaningless talk or gossip, as often is the case, and where you can just be yourself, as was said before, where there's a kind of safety in then being vulnerable and being real. You ever see somebody who's trying to be impressive so that they can be a little bit more themselves? It's not very impressive, is it? And quite the opposite. But when somebody is feeling okay enough or willing enough or so committed to the truth where they can just be themselves, warts and all, the heart goes out to them because their realness allows us to be real. So as being in a Kalyanamitta group, as Elad was saying, creating a safe space is the bottom line place where there can be that refuge, where you can feel this is a real refuge. By the way, I'll just mention a couple of other things, and I want you to do a reflection for yourself. In the Seven Factors of Enlightenment, probably many of you are familiar with that list, there's in each of those factors, from mindfulness and investigation and effort and joy and calm and concentration and equanimity, there's only one common causative factor for the development of all of those. Each one has its own set of conditions that helps develop them. But the one common causative factor is being around others who exhibit that quality. So that's why the Buddha said in the Mangala Sutta, the Blessing Sutta, avoid the company of the foolish as best you can, and keep the company of the wise. Those are blessings in your life, to have good friends, in the Blessing Sutta. Now, I'd like you to just reflect for a moment, and you can put down your pens and just close your eyes and think of a good spiritual friend. Maybe somebody who's been a good spiritual friend to you, or a good friend that you've really benefited from. It can be a peer, or it can be a wise person who has been a support for you, maybe more of a benefactor. But just think of someone who you would consider a good spiritual friend. And maybe you don't even know them, but you'd like to know them, but you know, if it's the Dalai Lama or somebody like that, you know, probably won't have lunch in the next couple of days with them. But just if there's somebody in your life, then start with that. And as you think about this good spiritual friend, just get in touch. What qualities do they have that inspire you? And how do you feel around them? How do you feel about yourself if you're around them, or if you could be around them. And then lastly, what qualities do you have that can be a support for others and that perhaps make you a good spiritual friend? Or could make you a good spiritual friend? Okay, and now I invite you actually to be in a triad. Sometimes it can be a little bit richer, just a three, or if the numbers don't work out, then it could be a dyad or a foursome. But try to meet in a group of three and talk about the different qualities that inspire you about spiritual friendship. And if you want, you can relate to the qualities that you have to share as well. But just to see what comes up from that, and then we'll check in. We'll spend maybe about 6 or 7 minutes on this. Okay. So turn to somebody. Raise your hand if you're looking for somebody to join. Anybody else? Here, somebody, they can use one more over here if there's a group of four. And anybody else? Anybody else who's looking for a... Is there a group of two? Is there a dyad?
Yeah, we're a dyad.
Oh, you're a dyad. Any other dyad? Then you can just be a dyad. Okay?
Okay.
And you'll draw it out. Okay. Start finishing up and thank your partners. And yeah, from stardom. Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Okay, let's come on back because we have a few things and I want to hear from each other about the wisdom. I'm curious, what qualities, there's no one right answer, what qualities do you find important for a spiritual friend? Why don't you get up, Ren, so you can
take it.
Yeah.
Holding confidentiality and kindness.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And one of the things, actually, that I don't know if I read it, but in the Sigala Sutta, maybe it did. Did I say a friend is someone who keeps your secrets? Yeah. Who keeps your secrets and shares their secrets with you. Confidentiality, that's what this is about. That's a big part of safety. So thank you. And kindness. Great. What other qualities? Marianne?
I was reflecting on a friend of mine that makes me a better person. Mm-hmm. So how she is always there and for me makes me want to be more, step myself up and be more there for her.
Beautiful. Okay. And as we're getting these comments, I'll just, this can be my way of sharing with you what I think are key elements of Kalyanamitta Group, that as a leader, as a facilitator, and even just as a participating member, if everybody sees their one prime function to bring out the best in everybody else, that's where the magic happens. Yeah. Whether it's a Kalyanamitta group or a champion sports team, when everybody is bringing out the best in everybody else, there's a kind of alignment of energy and magic that happens where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So the friend who makes you the best that you can be, if everybody goes into a group with that clear perspective and attitude, oh, we're in this to bring out the best in everybody. Ah, that's going to be creating a very safe environment. So thank you for that. Beautiful. What else? What qualities of spiritual friendship that hadn't been named? Yes, you. Oh, yeah.
I'm inspired by my friend that's just devoted to his practice. That he, you know, reads the big books and does the deal. Mm-hmm. And it's encouraging to me.
Okay, so another one. Your one's commitment and dedication to practice, one's sincerity, that becomes contagious. If every, you know, and that's one of the things where I really encourage commitment to a group and not just a drop-in thing. Well, maybe I'll come, maybe I won't. If everybody is there saying, okay, when we can, unless it's an emergency or something has come up or there's work taking us out of town, we're there. Our own commitment up-levels everybody else's commitment. Everybody contributes to that. And your own sincerity of practice becomes your gift to the group. Thank you. Anything else? You got a...
One of the things that I was reflecting on is when you have the opportunity to visit with someone who can listen profoundly or clearly listen, and there's a level of intimacy and wisdom that's conveyed with just their presence of silence.
Lovely. Being that's where the true dimension of practice comes in, where you are present not just with your own internal experience, where you're really present for each other, then it draws something out of you. Once heard this really wonderful nonviolent communication teacher, Mickey Kashtan. She came and was teaching the community Dharma leaders group that I was running, and she said, probably the most important aspect of nonviolent communication is not what you say, but how you listen. Mm-hmm. And what you hear as well. Because you can listen, but if you're listening either with judgment or with an assumption of, oh, this is where this person is coming from, then you're missing a true depth of a dimension of listening where you're listening and wanting to understand the other person's reality and not assuming that you know, oh, this is what empathy is about. This is what compassion is about. Oh, that's what it feels like to be in that person's skin. And the way you listen can just elevate the whole group. So, thank you. Yes?
Yeah, that sounds to me like the presumption of authority rather than really recognizing and witnessing the authorship of the other person for their own life.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, there's a humility in that kind of listening where you don't know. You're just wanting to learn and understand. Okay, anything else? Any other qualities? Yeah. Ariana.
I have a friend who accepts me unconditionally and is very genuine and always in the present. It's my cat. And I was telling my group that in addition to those wonderful qualities, she'll sit on my chest and look at me, which always grounds me and brings me back.
Yeah, lovely.
It's a lifesaver.
Well, yeah. Well, if you can be like your cat. Actually, I have this pillow in my house that my wife Jane brought me many years ago, and It'll be there till the end. It says, my goal in life is to try to be the person my dog thinks I am. Because your dog isn't judging you, and it just brings out the best in you. You're not trying to impress your dog, are you? But you're just yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so whatever qualities you admire and respect in others, embody them. The more you can embody them, they clearly resonate within you. They inspire you. You can be those qualities. And even just taking that as a practice, as your gift to the group that you're in, it becomes a very rich experience. And I hope you, as you join or you're continuing with the group that you're in, you can explore how to increase that level of spiritual friendship in your group and realize that you have a huge impact on what you bring. Whether or not you talk a lot or you talk little, your presence, your kind, caring, interested presence, non-judging, loving awareness is going to be contagious. And if there's something that's getting in the way, to be willing to take the risk in good good intention to say, I really value this group, and this is something that I want us to explore that could make it even better, perhaps, because there's something that's getting a little in the way. People will say, thank you. Thank you for being so courageous and honest and skillful in your speech. Not always, but most of the time. Okay, so I think I'll stop here.
Just kind of following along the next section, Deidre and Melanie are going